Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. Today I'm going to give you an overview of the Winter NAMM show, which just ended. So let's start off with NAMM. First of all, the mood was really good. It felt very prosperous. Everybody was really happy and upbeat. It was just one of the better NAMM shows in recent history. And this was in spite of some heavy rains that happened on a couple of the days. And usually when it rains in Southern California, it keeps people home because they're not used to it. But in this case, it really didn't matter all that much because the whole place was full and it was rocking. The one thing that could change all this is the fact that when you look around the hall, there's so much that comes from China. And if our government begins a trade war with China, which is entirely possible, this really good feeling in the industry could ground to a halt as products become much more expensive. And I think you'll find a lot of grief and woe as a result. So let's hope that NAMM does its part and lobbies very hard in Washington in the coming weeks so that doesn't happen. There's usually a theme to each NAMM show. In the past, it's been plugins, for instance. There's so many plugins, and there are times when we looked at iPads, for instance, in a time where everything was phone-based. The theme for this one, for 2017, was in-ear monitors. And you'd be shocked at the number of companies that were showing their own versions of in-ear monitors. There must have been about 20 of them. And this was everything from small upstart companies that you never heard before, all the way up to Fender, who was actually coming out with in-ear monitors, which kind of tells you something. Now, all this plays into the fact that I was told by an industry insider last year was a really bad year for guitar amplifiers. Guitar amps were way, way down, and pedal sales were way up, especially the premium ones, $300, $400 and more. So as I predicted a few weeks ago on my 2017 prediction show, we're starting to see the beginning of, I don't want to say it's the end of the guitar amp, but the end of the reliance on moving air on stage. Where because now everyone is using in-ear monitors, and if they're not using them already, they're going to be very soon. You're going to find that there won't be a need to actually have an amp on stage. As a result, you'll see amp sales go down even more. They're never going to go away, just like the sales of floor monitors are never going to go away. But I think we're going to see less and less of items on stage that are moving air. Now, one of the more interesting products that I saw that actually relates to that is by Ultimate Ears, and they call it Tap It. And this is brilliant. What it is a box that you plug your in-ears into, and it sits on your mic stand, and you take the output that normally would go to your floor monitor, and you plug it in. So what ends up happening is you lose the floor monitor, but you gain an in-ear. And as a result, just about any band that uses floor monitors can now use in-ears and don't have to worry about transmitters and receivers and all of that that entails going wireless for that. So that was really brilliant. I don't know the price of it, but I will find out and I will post it. I think I'm going to feature this on my blog on New Music Year Monday coming up, so you'll be able to find out more about it there. Now, besides that, once again, we had a show where nothing was revolutionary. There wasn't a big product where everybody was talking about it. This has been the same for exhibitions, for conferences in our industry for a lot of years now. We see evolutionary products that happen. We see things that are updated. Geez, I think Neve updated their Genesis console by making it black. There's a black version now, and that was their big release. So we're seeing things like that. We're seeing things that are actually kind of cool, but nothing earth-shattering. That being said, there were a number of really cool products that I saw, so let me run them down. The first one was the Magnum K compressor from Maag Audio, M-A-A-G. Now, if you don't know Maag, you should really check them out because they have one of the most unique EQs on the market. Of course, what's interesting about their EQ, and I'm talking about the EQ4, is the fact that it has something called the airband, and the airband goes out to 40K, if you can believe that. And yes, it does make a difference. Yes, you can hear it when you turn it up. And it also has a sub band, which goes down to 30 cycles, and boy, it brings up some lows. You just can't get any other way. So the same thing happens pretty much with the Magnum K. it's essentially four different units built into one 1U rack mount unit. And the first item is a pretty much standard compressor with all the compressor parameters that you know and love, which feeds into a second compressor. And that compressor is built to compress around 3-4K. Then running in parallel is an EQ2, which is basically the subband, which I just talked about, and also the airband. So it will put back anything that you kind of lose in the compression cycle and will give you that punch and just return it to the way it sounded when you first started. And then it finally ends up with a soft limiter. And I'm telling you, you put this in the circuit, it really sounds unique. It sounds different, and there's nothing like it. So that was one of the standouts for me, the Moog Audio Magnum K. JST Audio came out with some really cool plugins. This is Joey Sturgis. I really like his plugins. They're fairly inexpensive. I think you can only buy them direct, and they all work. They all sound great. One of the best limiters you'll find is something called Finality from JST. But in this show, they actually showed two new ones. The first one is Soar, which is a great sounding tape delay. That's not out yet. They just showed it. They showed the prototype. It'll probably be out later in the year. What they did show was a new amplifier simulator plugin called ToneForge. And what I liked about this one is it had a lot of versatility and a lot of control, but it was so well laid out. And it really sounded good. All of the parameters in the presets that they chose just worked. Sounded great. And if you wanted to change anything, I mean, any parameter you can think of, you can get to it fast. It was easy. You didn't have to search. You didn't have to scratch your head. What was this for? What was that for? So look out for that. I think it's on sale at $79, but it's definitely worth checking out. It's very cool. Another cool plugin is by Nugen. Nugen makes some great plugins that really have some of the best user interfaces that you'll find. They're very colorful, but they work. They look good, and they make things easy to see and easy to use. In this case, what they had new was MasterMix Pro. MasterMix Pro was unique in that you put it on your master bus, and it will show you the peak, the average, the dynamic range, things like that, but it will also allow you to see and hear what your mix will sound like on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, SoundCloud, YouTube, just about any source you can think of, any distribution source. Not only can you see what it will look like when it finally gets to those particular services, it will allow you to hear it because they have the codecs built in. So what this will allow you to do is actually fine-tune your mixes just for those particular services. So that's very cool. There's not anything like it that I'm aware of. This is Nugen, N-U-G-E-N, MasterMix Pro. I think it's on sale as well. It's $149 till the end of the month, and it's definitely worth checking out. Barefoot Audio had their new Footprint 01 monitors, and these are small desktop reference monitors with a huge sound. Huge. They have two 8-inch woofers coming out of the sides of the cabinets, and they're linked together in such a way so there's no phase shift. And I'm telling you, there's bottom out of these monitors like you've never heard out of small monitors. They're fairly pricey, but not that bad at $3,500 a pair for something that is that high end. Actually, it's a pretty good deal. And like I say, boy, these things sound great. Lynx showed their Aurora series of interfaces. And what's unique is in a 1U rack space, you can get up to 32 ins and outs. And you can do this in 8 IO increments. So if you only want to start out with 8, no problem. And you can add 8 more as you need, and 8 more, and 8 more after that until you're up to 32. It also has multiple interfaces, Thunderbolt, USB, Dante, and Pro Tools HDX, which is pretty cool. I think a unit with all the options is about $6,600, but it starts at something like $2,700. Chandler Limited, noted for all of their old English-style real preamps and compressors, showed a couple of really cool ones. The first is the RS-124 compressor. Back in the Beatles days, the boffins at EMI used to get Altec compressors. I think they're 436Cs. And they'd heavily modify them, and then they'd rebrand them with the new name, the RS-124. Now, Chandler is remaking that particular compressor with the EMI mods. So now you can get that Beatles sound if you really want it. And you can go one step further and get a replicated channel from the old Red .47 tube consoles, also at EMI in those early days. So if you want that vintage sound, that's how to get it. Apogee had something really cool. They called it the Groove. And what this is a little USB headphone amp for your computer. Boy, that thing sounds good. It doesn't do much more than that. It's just a great sounding headphone amp. So if you really want to monitor at super high quality, get the Apogee Groove. I think it's about $250 or so. Universal Audio didn't bring out anything new, but updated their Apollo interfaces. They updated them basically with new converters and with some new preamps as well. I didn't get a chance to listen to them, but some people that I trust that did A-B tests said it's like night and day between the old silver ones and the new black ones. So if you're thinking about getting a new interface, now might be the time to really invest in an Apollo. That's what I'm using here. I'm using a twin, a silver one, but I think I'm going to get a black face one pretty soon. The clever guys at Warm Audio came out with a bunch of new things this time. First thing they did is they updated their WA-12 preamp, which sounded great to begin with. Now what they did is they added a output control, and they socketed the chips. So now you can put your own chips in there to upgrade it. And I'm told it sounds a whole lot better. They also came out with a 4-channel WA-412. And what this is 4 channels of vintage, old-style API preamps. Once again, there are old and there are new API preamps. And some people like the old ones, some people like the new ones. Well, in fact, Warm Audio went out of their way to make them sound like the old ones, which includes the original op amp, and also as close as they could get to the output transformer, which I'm told they were able to wind pretty much the same way and actually give it some extra bottom that you normally don't get. And hey, we all love that, don't we? Warm Audio also came out with their WA-87 U87 clone. And I tried it on the floor. It sounded great. You can't always tell what something sounds like in the floor. Well, you usually can't tell what it sounds like on the floor. Mostly because when you're talking into something, it may sound terrific. But when you finally get it in the studio, under the bright lights, under the microscope, then you really hear what it's like. For instance, I like U87s on toms, and I know the real things work great, and some of the clones actually work great, but not all of them. So I'd love to hear it with a high SPL, high transient response source to really understand what it sounds like. That being said, it's $599. It looks like a real bargain. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to questions@bobbyoinnercircle.com. The 4th editions of both my Mixing Engineer's Handbook and the Recording Engineer's Handbook, and pretty soon the Mastering Engineer's Handbook as well, are now available on Amazon and soon coming to a bookstore near you. You can read excerpts and find out more details by going to bobbyosinski.com. Now onto some other cool stuff. Otherworld Computing, or better known as OWC, the people that have the great Macintosh accessories. If you want RAM, if you want hard drives that are always going to work, especially with any Mac that you have, that's the place to go, OWC.com or MacSales.com. They came out with a couple new things, and the best was the Helios. And what this is a piece that fits to the underneath of the new Apple laptops. It's very seamless. You pull the 6 screws out, and apparently the bottoms of the new laptops are on there in such a way that you can pull those screws out and the bottom is just never going to fall off because there's clips that hold it inside and there's a magnetic coupler and whatever. But anyway, you take this unit and use those 6 screws, screw it back on, and it gives you all of the ports that the new laptop doesn't have. The new laptop has 3 USB-C ports. And hey, we have all sorts of other things. We have FireWire 800 that we like, and FireWire, and the old USB ports, and SD card readers, and HDMI and DisplayPort outputs and all those things, guess what? It's in this unit. It's about $400 or even a little less. And not only that, it will also handle up to 4 solid-state drives as well. So if you really want a powerhouse laptop, this is what you ought to get at OWC. It's their Helios. They also had a lot of cool other things, solid-state drives especially, which had a lot of power, were very fast, were really small. And let's face it, that's the future. Pretty soon we won't be using mechanical drives at all. Tascam had a very interesting multiplayer, is the best way I can put it. It's a combination CD player and cassette deck, and with a USB port on it. It basically allowed you to record on anything that you wanted back and forth and take it out USB. So, and it was rack mounted as well. So it's one of those things that, you know, if you have a lot of CDs left over, you have a lot of cassettes, and you want to get them off that format into something new, this is the way to go. The other interesting thing is Tascam was also showing all of these rack mount players, cassette players, CD players, Blu-ray players, DVD players, you name it. You can still buy these things, and you can still buy it on a professional level from Tascam. Trident had a new console called the 78. If you remember, a couple of years ago, they came out with the 88, which was a small version of the famous Trident Series 80. And this one, in fact, is smaller still. They left a lot of things off of it, like sends on the monitor and EQ on the monitor returns and things like that. That being said, it's fairly inexpensive at around $20,000 for, I think, 32 channels. So if you really need a console and you want that Trident sound, this is a good way to go. You don't want to spend a lot of money. It's a good way to go. Electrodyne. You probably heard that name before, Electrodyne. Well, they're back with all sorts of preamps and fun things like that. But there's actually something that was cool that they had called the Summing Station. The Summing Station was made specifically for your laptop. So basically it was I.O. for your laptop with a monitor section, but also to use it as a summer, as a built-in summer for your mixes. Speaking of summing amplifiers, Heritage Audio showed the MCM-32. And the cool thing about that is it's a summing amp, but it added 32 channels of 1073 output. So if you really want that Neve sound and you really want those transformers and lots of iron, that's how to get it. Empirical Labs had a fun little item. It was a 500 series module called the Doctor. And what's cool about that is Dave Durr, D-E-R-R, is the genius behind Empirical Labs, behind Distressor and all those things. And this is Doc, D-O-C, Durr, D-E-R-R. He made it for his wife because she was out doing gigs and didn't like what her microphone was going through. So this, it's a little single channel with a EQ and a compressor and a little mic amp in it. But I'm told that it kind of shocked everybody how good it sounded on all sorts of different items when they took it into the studio. So it's kind of cool. Check it out. One of the big picture things here was, believe it or not, there wasn't much VR, virtual reality. Just didn't see that much. There was one example, however, and that was at Ultimate Stands, of all places. What was interesting there was you put the glasses on, headphones, and the first thing is you're flying over Red Rocks out in Colorado, the famous venue, and you land on the stage, and you can see what it's like to be a performer. And you look around the stage and see everything. You look up, you see the Red Rocks. But then you have your choice to either go inside the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip, or you can go inside Westlake Studios, where you're taken through a virtual tour in Westlake, for instance, of Studio D, and shown all of the studio stands from Ultimate Stands and what they do and how cool they are. So that was the only version of VR that I saw. There was a couple of VR microphones, but really there was very little emphasis on it at the show. I'm kind of surprised. By far and away, the best and coolest product that I saw at the show was called the Rock Block. And what the Rock Block was a piece of aluminum that would screw on the back of your Telecaster or Stratocaster. There are two different ones. What it would do is it would connect the neck with the bridge of each unit. And this was on the back now, you'd screw it on. You wouldn't damage the unit in any way, but I'll tell you, the difference in sound was amazing. It was the best demo I heard, because they had two identical tellies, identical in every way as they could get it. And you pick up the one without the rock block and you play it and it sounds okay. You pick up the one with the rock block and it was huge. It was amazing the difference in sound that this thing made. It's only $60, and it's one of those things where if you're a telly or a Strat player, you got to check this out. Because again, it doesn't destroy anything. It's non-destructive. It takes about 5 minutes to install and it makes a huge difference in sound. So check that out, the rock block. There is a very cool display with a company that was making guitar fingerboards out of paper. Yes, out of paper. And essentially, this is multi-layers of paper glued together, and it looked just like rosewood, and it felt just like rosewood. It was amazing. The reason why this is important is because there's a new law going into effect in February that will stop you from shipping anything with rosewood. The Customs Department will be able to confiscate it, which means any guitar with a rosewood neck will be confiscated by customs. So this has guitar manufacturers really freaked out. This particular technology may be on a guitar coming to you soon, believe it or not. And I'm telling you, you look at it, you can't believe that it's not wood. It's really impressive. One of the cooler amplifiers at the show was the Line 6 Spider 5 head. What was cool about this is it was a head with speakers. It basically had two mid-range speakers and two tweeters, which if you just wanted to take your head home and play along with it, guess what? You didn't have to have a cabinet with you. That's cool. But then if you plugged it into a regular cabinet, the mid speakers would turn off and the tweeters would stay on, so you have just a little more high-end edge from it. Not only that, there was lots of other cool things in terms of effects, with the color-coded foot pedal that was very easy to follow. It was one of those things where it's a no-brainer. And you look at it and you think, why didn't anybody think of that before? Kind of on the fun side of things was something called the poly end. And basically what it was a robotic drummer. There weren't sticks, they were balls that would beat against the drum heads of a drum set. You feed it a sequence from any sequencer and it would play the drums for you. Pretty well, actually. So it was a robotic drummer. That was kind of funny, by a company called Polyend. And finally, one of the coolest things, again, at the show was something called the gaff gun. Now, anybody that plays live knows that when you put mic cables down or speaker cables, you have to gaffer tape them so nobody trips over them or so they don't move. And it's a pain because you have to pull off a long strip and you get down on your knees and you put it there. Well, what this was a device that you could roll along and it would roll out a long strip of gaffer tape. And you can do this standing up. Brilliant. Brilliant. And it's something I can see every band having and every tech owning. Other than that, there was lots of weird things. And that's all coming up on my blog. So if you want to find out more about this and see some pictures and also see some things that I didn't talk about here, go to my blog, bobbyosinskiblog.com, and we'll have 3 days worth of this, part one, part two, part three. Part one is all audio. Part two is some audio and some other cool things that I saw. And part three is a lot of weird things that you only find at a NAMM show. So it's over for another year. Can't wait until the next one, as always. It's one of the best shows for seeing old friends, if nothing else. But I'm telling you, there's always some cool things that are going on, especially down in Hall E, which is kind of the place where all the new companies and all the crazy inventors go first, because it's the only thing they can afford. But anyway, it's the most fun to hang out down there, I think. Thanks for listening and being in my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyoinnercircle.com. To listen to other episodes of Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle, go to bobbyosinski.com and select the podcast tab, or go to bobbyoinnercircle.com, or you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Mixcloud, and Google Play. At bobbyosinski.com and bobbyoinnercircle.com, you'll also find a sign-up form for my newsletter and for alerts for new podcasts. This is Bobby Osinski. I will see you next time.